So I will speak on text 20. And it's a prose, so I'll just read the verse in Sanskrit, and you can just repeat word by word translation. Yoso Bhagavati Sarva Bhutatmani Anatmaye Niruktini Layane Paramatmani Vasudevinanya Nimita Bhakti Yoga Lakshanunanagati Nimitta Vidya Granti Randana Dvarena Yada Himaha Purusha Purusha Prasanga. Please kindly repeat responsibly. Yaha. Anyone. I'm sorry. Anyone who? Aso. That. Bhagavati. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarva Bhutatmani. The Super Soul of all living entities. Anatmaye. Having no attachment. Anirukte, who is beyond the mind and speech. Anilayane, not dependent on anything else. Paramatmani, unto the Supreme Soul. Vasudeve, Lord Vasudev. The son of Vasudev. So I probably mispronounced it. Vasudev with the prolonged A. The Lord Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. Yes. Ananya, without any other. Nimitta, cause. Bhakti Yoga, Lakshana, having symptoms of pure devotional service. Nanagati, of varied destinations. Nimitta, the cause. Avidya, granti, the bondage of ignorance. Randana, of cutting. Varena, by means. Yada, when. He, indeed. Mahapurusha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purusha, with the devotee. Prasangaha, an intimate relationship. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, His Confounder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. After many, many births, when the results of one's pious activities mature, one gets an opportunity to associate with pure devotees. Then one is able to cut the knot of bondage to ignorance, which bound him because of varied fruitive activities. As a result of associating with devotees, one gradually renders service to Lord Vasudev, who is transcendental, free from all attachment to the material world, beyond the mind and words, and independent of everything else. That Bhakti Yoga devotional service to Lord Vasudev is the real path of liberation. Please repeat responsibly. After many, many births, when the results of one pious activities mature. One gets an opportunity to associate with pure devotees. Then one is able to cut the knot of bondage to ignorance, which bound him because of varied fruitive activities. As a result of associating with devotees, one gradually renders service to Lord Vasudev, who is transcendental, free from attachment to the material world, beyond the mind and words, and independent of everything else. That Bhakti Yoga, devotional service to Lord Vasudev, is the real path of liberation. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Can we have this slightly up because I'm struggling to speak loud since the battlefield of yesterday. It required a lot of screaming. I heard Prabhu also struggling now to chant the kirtan. Oh yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Brahman realization is the beginning of liberation. And Paramatma realization is still further advancement toward the realm of liberation. But one achieves real liberation when he understands his position as an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Muktir hitvanyata rupam swarupena vyavastitihi. In the material world, in the bodily concept of life, everyone is working in the wrong direction. When one becomes Brahma-Bhuta, spiritually realized, one understands that he is not the body and that working in the bodily concept of life is useless and misdirected. When his devotional service begins, then his devotional service begins. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Brahma-Bhuta prasanatma nasochati nakankshati samasarveshu bhuteshu mat bhaktim labhate para. One who is thus transcendentally situated realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Devotional service is actual liberation. When one is attracted to the beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his mind is always engaged at the Lord's lotus feet, he is no longer interested in subjects that do not help him in self-realization. In other words, he loses all attraction for material activities. In the Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7, it is said, Eshahi evanandayati, evanandayati, yadahi evaisha etasmin nadrishe. Natmaye anirukte nila yane bhayam pratishtaham vindate taso bhayam gato bhavati. A living entity becomes established in spiritual blissful life when he fully understands that his happiness depends on spiritual self-realization, which is the basic principle of ananda, bliss. And when he is eternally situated in the service of the Lord, who has no other Lord above him. Om Agnati Mirandasya Agnanjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Ena Tasmei Shigurove Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manabhistam Sthapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Taruvescha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we continue with the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter entitled The Island of Jambudvip. And here, apparently this is Hanuman speaking, addressing prayers to Lord Ramachandra. And Shukadev Goswami is transmitting this knowledge to Parikshit Maharaj. So, basically, these are different prayers that the pure devotee of the Lord, Hanuman, has made to the Lord. And here in this particular verse today, we are learning how, after many, many births, when the living entity performs pious activities, he gets the opportunity to associate with devotees. And by associating with devotees, one becomes freed from the lower modes, more of ignorance, more of passion. And one actually renders service to Vasudev, Lord Krishna. And in that way, one is on the real path of liberation. And this is the essence of the verse. So, this sends us a message of how important is devotee association. Because through the devotees, we can actually connect to Krishna. In fact, we cannot understand that Krishna exists without devotees. There is no hope. Through sense perception, no one can understand what is going on. Through sense perception, at best, you can become an impersonalist. You can think everything is God and I can merge into the oneness of everything. So the devotee association is about divine revelation. It's about Vedic transcendental knowledge being revealed in disciplic succession. Evam parampara prapta idam rajasyo vidu. So that knowledge that the devotees possess is actually transcendental. And that's why their association is worthwhile taking. And materialistic people, they simply use their senses as the topmost means for realization. Senses and the faulty intellect, which is informed by their faulty senses. So in that way, their logic, their philosophies, everything is baffled by the illusory appearances in this material world. It looks like in this when we look at the material world, it looks like there is no God. It looks like everything is matter. And it looks like we didn't exist before. And now we exist in for first time, and after death we will cease to exist. That's how it looks like. It's an illusion. You know, everyone is thinking, I didn't exist before, now I am born. My father and my mother came together, they produced me, now I'm existing. And then I'm going to try to find a way to enjoy in this material world because I've got this drive to find happiness. Happiness is not my natural possession. So I have to work hard to become happy in this world. And then they get involved in karma. And and then he thinks, then one day I will grow old and I'll die and I'll cease to exist. So basically, all these religions and all this kind of stuff, they think is just speculations by other imperfect beings. I am imperfect, but they are also imperfect. So everything is just mythology and whatever, beliefs. I believe in the real world. I just work hard and play hard. That is the topmost realization you can come to through the senses. Because everything is so misleading in this material world. It is really confusing. The devotees, they have transcendental knowledge. How do we know that the devotee's knowledge is transcendental? Maybe the atheist is correct. Maybe it's just the writings of a clever poetic man who just wrote some nice things and just to express his own relative opinion, like Richard Dawkins is saying that people who are religious, they express their own relative opinion about something. And he considers it unscientific and illogical and so on and so forth. How do we know that the Vedas is something authentic, something real? Well, there is many indicators to that. We do not approach, or the seeker for truth, let's put it this way, we are seekers for truth. The seeker for truth does not approach anything unscientifically. Hopefully, maybe some people do, but if someone is very sincere, he wants to understand everything logically, scientifically. It's not that religion is all about, or spirituality is all about belief. It's about actually science. That's why we've got this book, Science of Self-Realization, Science of Reincarnation, Science of Bhakti Yoga, so many different sciences. So we're actually scientists. One who is seeking after the truth is a scientist. So science is about hypothesis, experiment, performing some method of experimentation, and then coming to some result, some conclusion based on that experiment. This is called science. Now there is a materialistic science, basically it is just limited within studying the material elements. It's like Sankhya Yoga, something like that. Sankhya, it's like just studying through the senses, the material elements. But that is kind of already imperfect approach, because one, from the very beginning, shuns down the possibility of there having a transcendental person or spiritual energy or something mystical higher beyond sense perception. So one who approaches directly through that angle, he's already imperfect in his approach, because his conclusion is partial. From the very beginning, he thinks everything is matter. So it's like he has made a decision and now he's making scientific inquiries simply to confirm his conclusion. While a genuine seeker, he is open. He's saying, okay, let me look at the facts. Let me look at both sides. Let me look at what's going on really before I make a choice, make a decision. And let me also become involved in some scientific research myself, rather than just sitting on the fence hearing what this person is saying and that person is saying, like that. So this is actually a real seeker of truth. And any pious person becomes such. After many, many pious activities, one matures to associate with devotees and to get exposed to the alternative perspective to the illusion that we just originate from matter, we live once and then we turn into dust, and then la tutta finito, finish. So what I do, it doesn't matter. I'm not responsible for anything. I'm not going to be accountable or responsible. I just have fun. I can make my own law. I can kill animals and eat them, no problem. I can steal, rob, whatever I want to do. I am unaccountable, because there is no higher organization. You know, that's how people think. If there is some kind of a law, it's just the government, but they're imperfect, I can cheat the government. They think like that, you know. Oh, I'll become the government and I'll cheat the people. Like that. But one who is real seeker of truth is thinking, I'm not interested in cheating others or cheating myself. I want truth. And then he or she approaches reality with a very humble attitude, studying everything available, and then applying themselves to some scientific results. Now, we may not be able to perform so-called experiments in the laboratory of the scientists, because we may not have the means and the facilities to do so at the moment, but if someone wants to do so, he can do that, of course. But there is a shortcut. We don't have to do all this research. We just let them do the research, and we look at their research, and we see the results of their research. And we'll look also at the research of other pious entity or devotees, and we look at the results they have, and based on that we can make also some kind of conclusions to direct ourselves in certain direction. You see, this is on a very beginning level of approach like that. So if we investigate the scientific side, we can see so many theories are there that are supporting this materialistic worldview. But we see also that there is so much evidence that matter cannot be responsible for consciousness. And also, like we have the help now of scientists. For example, our book, Rethinking Darwin, the recent book that has come by BBT, we can see some genuine scientists, biologists, molecular biologists, and physicists, etc., philosophers also approach the subject matter with an open mind, and they see that there is so much evidence for supernatural conscious entity existing and basically directing all processes in this material world. So they speak of specified complexity. Shishi Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shigor Nitai Jagannath Subhadra Baladev ki jai, Gaur Premanandi. They speak of things like specified complexity. They speak of irreducible complexity as indicators to intelligent design, to supernatural entity that is overseen and direct in this material world. So much evidence is there. So, like that, one who is a seeker and pious, he can understand that actually scientific evidence is much weak in terms of conclusion compared to the evidence of what has recently been found in molecular biology, etc., all these studies. So if one is really seeking, they'll find. The problem is that most of the people these days, they don't seek. Yesterday I was observing, I actually had this memory of one Prabhupada statement. Prabhupada said, in Africa, he said, because people are uneducated, the best way to preach in Africa, he said, is prasadam, food for life, and harinam. But yesterday I was looking at the people and I can see that in Europe it's no difference. You know, it's completely more of ignorance, you know. And a lot of the people will not understand immediately philosophical, logical conclusions and conversation. So for them to be built up to that level, they have to be exposed to some positive activities, such as transcendental positive activities, such as Harinam, Food for Life, and of course, friendly devotee association. I'm using friendly because sometimes we can be unfriendly, devotee association. And people don't understand that. chastisement. So we have to be very friendly with people like that to be able to lift them up. Because in the mission of Lord Chaitanya is Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pridayate. Krishna, Krishna Chaitanya, Namne Gorat Vishena Maha. He is so merciful that he gives bhakti, Krishna Prema, even to asuras. Prabhupada is continuously repeating that. All the other incarnations of the Lord, they gave protection to the pious. You know, what is that verse? Pranitranaya sadunam vinashya tuskritam. Krishna is destroying the demons and giving shelter to the pious, but Mahaprabhu is giving shelter even to the demons. Friendly devotee association. So in this age, there is no hope for the people, except if they meet with loving, caring, friendly devotees. You see? Otherwise, they'll never be able to understand what's going on. Simply controlled by the three modes of nature. And they just offend one another. Constant offense to one another. I was talking with Yanunandana Maharaj yesterday during the kirtan, how about this same point, and Maharaj said that actually things are turning around now, because in Africa people are eager to be educated, so there is so much interest about education and so on and so forth. So in Africa maybe people will accept the philosophy more than in Europe. Maharaj was observing that. Interesting how things are changing. But of course, because they are trying to follow the Western civilization, gradually, if their education is simply mundane, they will reach a peak of mundane knowledge and then they will come down again into ignorance. So, we have to be a genuine seeker. And how do we understand, coming back to my main point, how do we understand that this knowledge given in the Vedas, it's actually authentic, that it's real, that it's not some poetry or mythology or something like that. Like one time I met one devotee in one temple and we had a discussion and he said to me, I don't know if this is real actually. Now, when I die, I'll see. Even devotees can think like that sometimes. It's like a bewilderment, you know. So actually, you'll not be able to see when you die because you're so caught up into the external energy. You're not performing like pure devotional service because you're not having that faith. If you think you don't know, maybe it's not real, then you're just performing some Mishra Bhakti. And, you know, if you develop some strong material desires, then you may take birth somewhere where you can enjoy these material desires. And then gradually, again, one will be given that opportunity. But it doesn't mean that when you die, you'll see, you know, when this body dies, that you'll see, oh, I'm going now back to God, and then it was real. No, you have to have this realization before you leave the body. That's the idea of the science, hypothesis, investigation, conclusion. So one has to be a sincere seeker of truth. So again, back to the point, what, you know, what's the yardstick, what's the measuring tool to understand whether these teachings of Krishna consciousness is authentic or whether it's just mythology? How do we understand that? Well, we can never understand unless we approach devotees. And because the devotees are so genuinely caring, then our consciousness becomes transformed. And if we perform some offense or something like that, we may end up like this devotee who is double-minded and not so sure, perform some offenses, they block the realization. But if one is very cautious while in association, not to perform offenses, but also to serve the devotees, one will make the, definitely a progress to realize. You see, as a result of associating with devotees, one gradually renders service to Lord Vasudev, who is transcendental, free from attachment to the material world, beyond mind and words, and independent of everything else. That bhakti yoga devotional service of Lord Vasudev is the real path of liberation. So, when you actually engage in devotional service, the proof is that you feel liberated. And that gives you the confidence that I'm on the right path. You feel liberated. Liberated from suffering. And liberated from sinful activities. This is the proof. One time I was on book distribution and one Christian gentleman approached me and he said, "My dear sir, are you saved?" You understand what I'm saying? Are you saved? A Christian man approached me on book distribution and he said, "My dear sir, are you saved?" You know how they ask? Are you saved? Are you guys saved? So I answered to him by saying, "My dear sir, are you saved?" And he said, "Yes, I'm saved." So I told him, "Saved from what?" He said, "I'm saved from going to hell." I said to him, "Why were you going to go to hell?" He said, "Because I did so many sinful activities." So I told him then, "Now because you are saved, does it mean you are no longer performing sinful activities?" He said, "No, I still perform." Then I told him, "Then how are you saved?" You understand? So, saved means to be saved from performing sinful activities. And that is the proof that this is not ordinary knowledge. Like one boy in Australia asked me, "How do I know Krishna is there? Son of devotees. The children are now attacked by this Darwinian theory by neo-Darwinists like Richard Dawkins." He was telling me, "How do I know Krishna is real?" So I told him, "Look, just if you see in the Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami, for example, he saw these beautiful naked girls. He was not bothered. He just walked away. He was not interested. He's completely detached, free. And if you see a materialist person, if he sees beautiful naked girls, he'll hide in the bushes to watch and enjoy, right? It's very different. And now, someone may say, "But this is Shukadev Goswami, what about us, you know?" Well, don't think there is no devotees like that amongst yourself. If you are not on that level of consciousness, don't think, because Atmavan Manate Jagat, you think I am like this, then everyone must be like me. So because there are such highly evolved in bhakti, living entities or devotees, spiritual masters, pure sadhus and saints, that is the proof that this process is real. For example, is one of the indicators that there are such pure saints that they are not attracted to the material world, to anything of this material world. So they are becoming Krishna-like. You see here, they render service to Lord Vasudev, who is transcendental, free from attachment to the material world. So if one becomes free from attachment to the material world, that means this process is real. But if it was not helping you to become free, that means something wrong. Either with your practice, or either with the actual teachings. So, as devotees, we use three pramanas to understand, three main, according to Jiva Goswami, to understand whether something is real or something is not. What are these three pramanas? One, the most important, is Shabda Brahman, divine revelation. We approach the scriptures for guidance. The second one is sense perception, pratyaksha, and the third one is anuman, logic. So, sense perception and anuman are subservient to Shabda Brahman. It's not that we cut them out and we say, "I don't trust my senses and I don't trust my mind." Therefore, I'll just use Shabda Brahman and I'll ignore my mind. And even if something is illogical, I believe it. Not like that. Because when we approach scripture, if you're a sincere seeker, you will get purified and your intellect will become purified and your logic and your senses will become purified. So it will become a much more capable tools to help you discern between illusion and reality. So in that way, we can actually examine, if I follow the Bhagavatam, what will happen to me? And we look at both sides. What if some person is materialistic and does not follow, what will happen to him? So one, a devotee can look at life very objectively and conclude like this, that every person has a specific worldview. In other words, the materialistic people are also philosophers. They have their own philosophies. You know, like if you sometimes speak to people, they say, I've got my own philosophy. Have you heard this expression before? Huh? People say, I've got my own philosophy. Very common. All over the world I go and I speak to ordinary people like that who have not been exposed to bhakti. They say the same thing. I've got my own philosophy. Everyone thinks I'm a muni. I'm very exalted and I know what's going on. And then if you say, okay, what's your philosophy? And when they start to speak, it's the philosophy of the next man. And the previous man I met is the same philosophy, but they think it's their own philosophy. It's just materialistic philosophy. He thinks it's my own philosophy, you know. And what is that philosophy? Work, buy, consume, and die. You know, that mantra. We chant 16 rounds of that. They chant 64 rounds of work, buy, consume, and die every day. Even more than that, probably. Complete dedication to the Maha Mantra of material illusion. Work, buy, consume, die. Work, buy, consume, die. Work, buy, consume, die. I've got my own philosophy, sir. So, this is again illusion. So, everyone is a philosopher, but basically their philosophy is materialistic, based on the body and the faulty perception of the mind and senses. And then the devotees, they're philosophers, but through their practice they understand that I'm getting liberated from suffering. I'm getting liberated from abusive activities. And I am becoming a lover of Krishna. I'm becoming lover of Krishna and then gradually lover of everyone. Because everyone is Krishna's child, Aham Bija Pradapita. So, wow, this is amazing. What's happening here? You know, no democratic propaganda can make one man love another. Because at the same time, democracy says we're all equal, love each other. But then at the same time, they say for the economy to operate, there must be competition. Competition means putting people one against another. In America, I heard 1,000 businesses, out of 1,000 businesses, for example, who open every year, 950, it's like a rough estimate, dies before the end of the year due to competition. The next 50, only 5 survive in the next 5 years. Like that. It's dog eat dog. So, very nice propaganda. We are all equal. We are all nice. We are all brothers. But at the same time, you guys should compete. You know, take that guy down. Take that business down. You know, you should become established. So, in that way, the expected happiness and liberation is just an illusion. Even in democratic society. And even if people are living in the haven, materialistic haven as Amsterdam, everything is permitted there. Dacha, marijuana, whatever. Just do what you want. You know, it's a Shudra haven. You know, basically work hard and then spend all your money on sense gratification. Even in this kind of societies where people are more well-to-do, there is so much suffering, you know. And in fact, people are not happy, fighting, and destroying their lives. So what I'm trying to say is that every person has a philosophy. So there is this materialistic man, he's got his own philosophy or worldview. He thought about it before that. So there is some thinking process. He comes to a conclusion, worldview. He sees himself as the body, he lives once and he dies. That's his worldview. Then he thinks in that way. What am I going to do to make myself happy? Then he makes choices based on materialistic perspective. Then he acts on these choices. Then there are specific results. And then he is held accountable for these results from a material and even from spiritual point of view. In fact, even mostly from spiritual than from material point of view. It's scientific. And same with devotees. The devotees think, do some research. Before we joined this movement, we did some research. We didn't just, hey, this is cool, nice food, you know, let me just join these guys. You know? And even if someone joined like this, they at some point they will start to do this research because their piety increases, they associate with devotees, then they start to research, and one has to come to this strong internal conviction that this is authentic movement, authentic teachings, etc. So one, through that research, comes to a formed worldview, Jivera Swarupa Hoi Krishnera Nityadas, Krishnera Tatasta Shakti Beda Bera Prakash. I am Krishna's eternal servant, and I am marginal energy, and my duty is to serve Krishna. That is the worldview. And then one thinks in that way, makes choices based on that, not anymore on the body or the mind, then acts based on that. Then there is a specific result, and then you're accountable for that result. It's scientific. It's very, very scientific. So it's not that we're a bunch of idiots, just believers, and just screaming there something, you know. This is very scientific movement. And then there is a sociological impact, which can also be an indicator. Materialistic people, they destroy themselves, and they destroy others, and they destroy everyone else and environment as well. So if you think you're the body, you live once and you die, and you engage in materialistic activities, you engage in self-destruction, destruction of others, and then destruction of the environment. But if you become a devotee, you're becoming involved in construction of your spirit, construction of other people's spirit, and purifying the environment by lifting the consciousness on the planet. Even on that sociological investigation level, you can see that this is not just kind of a belief, unreasonable kind of belief. So how important is the association of devotees? I'll conclude with this. It's very, very important. Therefore, we have to take full advantage of being in association of devotees. And being in association of devotees means serving devotees. Serving devotees. And the more we practice this service attitude, the more dominant it becomes in our consciousness. And the more we experience this ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. One time I asked Devamrita Maharaj, I said, Maharaj, should we come first to Brahman platform in ISKCON before we perform devotional service, pure devotional service? He said, not necessarily to try separately to come to Brahman. Just engage in devotional service. And by association of devotees, gradually you will become liberated. So even if we're not like Shukadev Goswami now, that doesn't mean that you'll never become like him. Don't think like this. You'll all become like Shukadev, like Janava Mata, like all these great saints, both men and women. So you can do that. And just become serious, humble, selfless, and brave. Dive into these genuine teachings under the guidance of your spiritual masters. And I guarantee you that very, very soon you'll experience this self-realization. You experience the ecstasy far beyond the senses, the mind, etc. Because you are coming in contact with Vasudev, with Lord Krishna, who will purify all the material contamination we have accumulated for many, many lifetimes. So Prabhupada ends, a living entity becomes established in spiritual, blissful life when he fully understands that his happiness depends on spiritual self-realization, which is the basic principle of ananda, bliss. And when he is eternally situated in the service of the Lord, he has no other Lord above him. He is completely dedicated to Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any comments or questions? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any comments or questions from the exalted audience of devotees? Sure. Yeah, it's true. It's what you say is correct, and what I said is correct. And my point was, not that we should hate them.
Okay.
Like I said at the end, you love everyone. If you become devotee of Krishna, you hate no one. Even the greatest cheetah, you will embrace him, and you will lift him up. So, yeah, hatred is part of Maya. It's part of the material energy. Bhaktas have no hatred in the heart.
But I didn't mean hating. I mean avoiding their rules, avoiding...
No, I didn't say that, I didn't say that. That would be foolish because it doesn't make sense that you would not appreciate or acknowledge the... people who are in charge. Actually, the best way to purify someone is to acknowledge them, make friends with them, and lift them up rather than fight them. Even sometimes with devotees that I admire, instead of fighting them, or arguing with them, what they think they are not in Maya, for example, the best way to go approach is make friends with them and lift them up rather than fighting them. So it is always about relationship, it's always about serving others and empowering others. You see, it's all about that. This is practical. But it can be misunderstood, and thank you for making the point, you know, sometimes. And when I said also that people in Europe can be in ignorance or something like that, I'm not saying this in a condescending way, in a kind of trying to make fun of them or something. Yeah, my heart is in pain for them. But I have to see where they are. I can't think these guys are all Mahabhagavats and, you know, something like that, or they're in more of goodness. I can see these people are really, really suffering. So when a devotee says someone is in ignorance, in tamaguna, they don't say this to demean others, but they are just, you know, pointing something out. In fact, to encourage the others to help. And like I mentioned, Mahaprabhu, he is not only giving the mercy to the pious, but even to the most degraded. And our movement is a leadership movement, because Mahaprabhu's leadership is to bring love of Krishna in the world, which means love for everyone automatically. Because if you love Krishna, you'll know how to love everyone. So like that, we can see where the ignorance is, and we can help. So according to Deshakala Patra, we can present. If there were many new people today here, I wouldn't have probably spoken that way, because they may misunderstand. They may think we're condescending towards them or something like that. They are serving.
When I forget the prasad, you say, you didn't bring that sweet. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a challenge to integrate it.
Exactly.
Exactly. You can bring the Krishna, and that's,
exactly,
that's,
yeah,
why I mean, don't put him like wheat or sheep, but try to integrate in those non-devotee societies.
Yeah, we all. Exactly. Yeah. Making friends with them without compromising.
Without compromising.
Yeah.
Making friends means you have a mission. Make friends and strengthen Krishna.
Exactly. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I think it's time for prasadam. If there is no more questions. No. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anati Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Nitai Gaur Premanandi.